It's 20 minutes and three quarters after 1 o'clock. Present are Mr. Miller, Mr. Ellis, Mr. Gruenberg, myself, Peter Bell. Thank you, sir.
Need to initial after the record.
Yes, sir. We have first before us, we're going to have a little bill dealing with the Commission on Judicial Conduct coming up. It's going to be brought before the committee probably sometime next week if Mr. Gruenberg is ready to do so. It's not ready yet. It has to do with opening up some of the meetings to the public.
Well, I have to call Marla back.
She just called me. Could you put us in recess for a minute, Kathy?
Sure.
She just. At any rate, we'll be discussing that probably next week for your review, and if the members are satisfied with it, we'll introduce it as a committee bill. It's just a little cleanup measure. Before we get down to the bills on the calendar today, or the issues rather on the calendar today, I'd like to pass around an amendment associated with Mr. Donnelly's bill on whistleblowers. It's a big one and will probably require tremendous amounts of discussion by the members.
Do you want a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, we already should have, but let me just ask staff. Have you, Hayden, checked to make certain that everything is exactly okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You reread the final CS, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've reread it, too. I didn't find any problems with the one exception of the inconsistent language that is corrected in this amendment. It just makes it consistent with everything below there. If you take line 28 in your CS on page 2 or lines 1 through 5 on page 3, you'll see repeated.
By the way, what you have done here makes me feel much better. I was considering an amendment that was in your packet on this. This makes me feel better.
Oh, well, I'm so glad.
Ginger, does Dave have any problem with this?
Dave has reviewed it.
Dave does not have any problem with it.
And has something shown to the administration that that necessary?
Gentlemen, would you like to see the amendment? It changes a reasonable cause to believe to reasonably believes, just to make it the same as everything else.
Mr. Otto is nodding and smiling.
Mr. Otto is nodding and smiling, as his lovely warmth.
I move the goal of the
Mr. Gruenberg moves amendment number whatever, moves this amendment. Is there unanimous consent? Hearing no objection, the amendment is adopted. At this time, we do have four members present, and
I told Representative Davis that if he had heartburn on that punitive damages issue, that we can, as far as I was concerned, rescind our action and debate it fully. Is he planning to come to the meeting today?
His staff was looking for him.
Okay, we'll hold the motion until we find out if he's coming or not, and then we will be moving the bill out of committee today, for sure. And Mr. Martin has joined the committee.
This was adopted.
Yeah, that was adopted.
Want this rolled into a new CS?
The bill will move out, and this just needs to be put in before it moves.
The call amendment should, for the record, be number 5.
Six.
Six.
Number 5.
Six. You can call it number 6 there, Captain.
Okay.
Well, I would like to ask the folks present. Let's see. Wait, well, forgive me here. Let me just find her. I see. Okay. I'd like to announce to members that we've got some affirmative action presentations tomorrow, which I hope you'll find of interest, and we'll try to keep them succinct and allow you to determine whether there are matters you want to pursue, and then if so, things will get a little more lengthy. Mr. Gruenberg.
Yes, I think it might be helpful. Do you have the letter and stuff we got from the Black Caucus? I would ask staff if they could, if you
know. Excuse me. Oh, there are files already made up. There are the copy of the legislative audit report on DOT included in that, and some of them are pretty lengthy, so you might want to pick that up.
I would appreciate it, yeah. If members would take a look at your packets, maybe on your way out, look at the. Could you read the list of items that are going to be up tomorrow so that members can determine whether they'd like to pre-read the documents?
I'd like to take, why don't we distribute them so we can, if people want to take them.
Members will be able to pick up their packets from Kathy at the end. They're right up there on top of the cabinet. Could you read the list of items that will be up?
The packets are affirmative action oversight, minority issues, executive branch appointments, DOTPF Affirmative Action Compliance, Racial Disparities in Arrest, Sentencing, and Incarceration. And that's it.
It's as a result, you probably all received the stuff from the Black Caucus. It's as a result of a couple of their concerns. By the way, Mr. Chairman, do we want to duplicate this and just give us that number so they take it?
Sure, or why don't you just pass it around, Mr. Chairman? Yeah, or duplicate them up. We got the calendar for next week.
That's number five.
It's pretty straightforward. Tomorrow's meeting is canceled. We're going to be taking up the material that would have... Forgive me, Friday's meeting is canceled. We're going to take up that material, HJR 1 on open meetings and 140 on open meetings on Tuesday, March 14th of next week. Thanks to the courtesy of Mr. Grunberg, who really has been extremely gracious to me.
We're doing well.
And I've been gracious too. Okay, Johnny, I'd like to turn it over to you. I rather imagine you've had an opportunity to think a little bit about what has happened. I would say, Kathy, that we're going to try to relax our protocols here a little bit, and maybe rather than attempting to get every person's quote, you would just summarize discussion as you feel is needed. So that if a member wants to look back on the minutes and just sort of refresh themselves as to where we ended up on the key points, they can. But I'm going to turn it over to Johnny and ask you to lead the discussion if you would be willing to do so. And then if Max or I develop a passion for leadership, we'll jump in. If I develop a passion for leadership, I'll jump in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think members will notice that I've included, or asked to be included by committee staff in the packets, a visual aid. I think there might have been a perception by some, maybe not people on this committee, but some of our colleagues, that this set of deadlines for session work would be forcing the body to take action at too early a date, or that we were going to be asked to have legislation passed through hoops at an unreasonable time frame early in the session. And I think the visual aid here, this graphic, demonstrates that while we're setting deadlines, they still occur mainly in the final third of the 120-day session. And I hope this is a clear representation. People can see exactly where those deadlines would fall relative to other events during the calendar of the session. So I hope that can facilitate some of our discussion here, or at least give members a handle on what we're talking about.
A couple of things that we may want to keep in mind. Number one is if people are interested, they should pencil in or something. Under the 35th day of the second session, you can't introduce any individual bills. And number two, Representative Ellis, I don't see anything...
I'm sorry, Max, could you say that again?
Yeah, maybe people want to pencil in under the 35th day of the second session. After that, they introduce a personal bill.
Oh, okay. After the 35th day of... Isn't it both sessions?
No.
No. All right, just second session.
You mean you thought it was first session? I think it was second.
Oh, it's already after the 35th day of this session, isn't it?
I see. No more personal bills.
Max, it was almost, though. You almost kept the practice there.
Okay. And then the other thing is, I don't see anything in...
Yeah, excuse me, guests, I'll have to ask you to take it outside.
I don't see anything in the bill that prohibits anything concerning committee actions on the bill after the 90th day, the way, unless you're changing something from the original bill.
Well, Johnny and Max, maybe it would help me to understand this visual aid if you would kind of take us through it as if it were a narrative and just take me through this once.
You see what I'm saying?
See, I don't see what you're saying because I'm not sure what this says.
Okay. I think that this first thing is incorrect here. It doesn't prohibit committee action on the House bills after the 90th day. It says you can't calendar for second reading. That's a floor action.
No, I see committee action on House bills, 90th day.
And paragraph one doesn't deal with committee action. It says you can't calendar for second reading.
Oh, so you're saying his chart's inconsistent with the bill?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff?
Well, that appears to be correct.
Well, let's just pencil in the change. You're saying the committee action is not referenced in the bill. Do you want it to be?
No, I believe it's a typo.
Okay, so we should just change that to floor action, floor action on House Bills, correct?
No, it's calendaring for second reading. You could actually just put it on with the...
What's the difference?
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, the initial calendaring.
The Rules Committee Chairman would simply come up with a gigantic calendar listing a zillion bills for second reading, and they'd hold them open.
In one motion.
Yep.
Well, so that could happen anyway under this, right?
That's what I'm saying.
And you want to avoid that?
Well, I'm saying that if a smart Rules Chairman just do it.
Calendar every bill and rules in second reading, and then you can...
And even some that aren't rules.
Call it consensus calendar, some other states do it.
And then you just put them off and say, this will be put off till a date to be announced.
Well, Johnny, do you want to deal with that question at this point?
Unless we're being Machiavellian and crude.
And that you want a little more time, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, speak freely, gentlemen.
I think it may be fair, from what I was conceiving, I don't know if Johnny had to see this, that the committee work should be done by X day. It's my feeling that the rules would need a couple more, you know, a little more time. I just wanted, in my mind, everything done at a committee level for House stuff that has to go over. And so maybe the Rules Chairman will have a little more time to work with, but as long as the committee finishes its work on X bill, and then you have a streamlined action, because everyone, all committees are done in 90 days. Everything gets to the Rules Committee, the Rules Chair says, hey, these are our priority by your priority committee. And so by your priority group, you're going to say, look, we all got our bills in, now let's streamline it. Let's work with the Rules Chairman. These are our priorities to get over to the other body. And that'll help the Rules Chairman to organize. But it wasn't my feeling originally that we should say that everything is out of the House chambers over to the Senate. If only that committee work is done and that allows you 30 days to do the Senate.
Well, let me make a suggestion, if I may. I think that there are probably, if we break this up into different deadlines, just for purposes of discussion, there are probably some things, and I'd say there are some things later in the bill that we're all going to pretty much agree on. And if we sort of work backwards a little bit.
Find consensus points and go back from there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to just do a couple things first. First of all, I still need to be taken through the chart, but before that, something happened here that interests me, Johnny, and that's committee action on House bills, which we could also call calendaring for second reading in the Rules Committee, or, you know, calendaring for the floor or something.
I'd ask for that to be discussed.
Well, I'm just saying...
I'd like to speak to you.
Yeah, I'm with you. All I'm saying is that there's an idea here, I'm just trying to phrase, and that is that differentiating between the end of committee action, including Rules Committee action, and the end of floor action. And it seems to me that ending floor action on House bills, say, during the first session, on the 115th day, and on the 95th day of the second session, makes a lot of sense to me.
Sure.
And it seems to me that getting the calendar developed during the first session complete for House bills, no more bills can be proposed for the floor after the 110th day, and then in the second session, no bills can be proposed for the floor from the originating body after the 90th day, if not, 90 may not be the day we'd agree on in 95, but, you know, those two things have, I'm beginning to understand them, and they're beginning to fit into place in my mind. So, having said that, I guess what I need is just to ask you if you would take us through the chart once so that our thinking can be ordered, and then we're going to vote on whether to go for consensus points and start back that way or to use some other order. And if you have an order of discussion that you would like to use.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I apologize because I'm not ready to take you through the chart because I believe the chart needs to be significantly amended.
You know what I like about the chart? I think I like it better than the bill. I mean, it's really clean, you know? And maybe taking us through the chart with its errors would...
It's neat the way you did it, yeah. And you can fill in the blanks.
Johnny, I don't know, for me, it's sort of like fill in the blanks. I looked at this, and my first reaction was that Rules Committee action on House bills, which is the same as calendaring for second reading, would end on... Yeah, I got that from you. Rules Committee action on House bills would end for the second session on the 90th day.
Oh, wait, you're on the second line.
Yeah.
You said you'd rather have that to be your second session, okay.
Yeah, and floor action on House bills would end, which could be rephrased as the originating House, right? Rather than House bills, the bills of origin, House of origin, would end on the 95th day during the second session. And then, I mean, all these numbers are debatable, but just getting us into the ballpark here. And then something like the 110th day and the 115th day during the first session to allow the last week to be free of bills of the originating body.
And Mr. Chairman, what was your rationale for having different deadlines in the first and second session?
My rationale there was that there are bills in the House that we'd want to kick over so they'd be sitting in the Senate at the beginning of the second session. And that members will be pushing their own bills through this body right up until the very end. And saying you can't do it up until the very end, you can do it up until the last week, would give us the last week to only concentrate on priority Senate bills, and the time before that, we could debate on the merits of which is more important. I would say that, to me, the argument against that would be if you could document a crush of bills from the other body during the first session sufficient to move that date earlier. You know, if you can, you know, well and good. Before we get into debating the fine points, could we just run down this chart as, if for no other reason, as a courtesy to me, just so I could track it and see what it is, because I find it very intriguing.
Do you have the chart?
Oh yeah, I love it. Love
committee
it.
Action on Senate bills would be the same as saying rules committee action, is that correct? I mean, you by committee action, you mean including calendaring?
Yes. Okay.
So then rules committee action on Senate bills would have to end during. All right, now, let's see. And then floor action on Senate bills. Now,
rather than, Mr. Chairman, instead of say the opposite House, you know, so we're talking
Mr.
about
Chairman,
the original House.
Allowing the person who put the chart together
no,
to speak to
me? No, come to the table.
You're the artistic.
Before, I just
allow
you to get through it once.
Creative.
And then I'm with everyone.
Sure,
and
I'm
with your first completely.
I'm shut up.
All right, committee action, and we're going to call House bills, we're going to call bills of the House of Origin House bills and bills from the opposite House Senate bills for the purpose of discussion. Now,
receiving.
Yeah.
House of Origin and receiving.
This true, is, this but I mean, for, just since it's written this way, let's just pretend that the only, you know, let's just use these words for the moment.
We can talk to in terms of the Uniform Reciprocal Enforcement Support Act as the initiating House and the responding
okay.
House.
Rules committee action on Senate bills by the 114th day. You're saying get bills calendared 5 days before the end of each session. That would apply to both sessions, wouldn't it? First and second. The day being flexible, but
yeah.
Okay. And floor action on bills of the opposite body up until 3 days before the end of each session.
117th day.
But I mean that's what this means.
Oh wait, you're down on the line.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah.
And then conference committees. Now I'd like to know what you mean by this conference committee action by the 118th day. And we'll forget about the budget. We're just talking about bills for a moment.
Mr. Chairman.
Only one line from the bottom. I'm done with this. I just need to know what it means.
Well, it means exactly what it says in this.
I'm taking the common conversion, so what does it mean?
It means a report of the conference committee with limited powers of free conference may not be voted on by a House until at least 24 hours after it's duplicated. I mean, if that's the long version you want of the...
Well, is there a deadline on conference committee action? By that I assumed you mean action in a conference committee. Because, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, too. You say the conference committees may not meet after the 118th day.
Because
you need the 24
correct, to meet this requirement.
Hours, okay. All right, so conference committee action ends, and then floor action on conference committee reports up to the 120th day, so there is no action on bills from the other body after the 117th day unless they've gone to conference. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes.
My last question, and I'm done with the chart. Do you have exceptions in mind for the budget?
Not, you know, that's not what was intended by the bill.
No, originally, no.
Other than.
I'm done. First, Mr. Gruenberg, then Mr. Martin. Thank you very much.
Representative Ellis, the bill sponsor, wished to have Jim Norton take us through the chart to start us off.
Well, that's what we just did.
Mm-hmm. Did you want Mr. Norton to say?
Jim, do you have additional comments that, or John, I'm sorry, Ellis?
No, other than Max, you did point out an error in the chart that it's my responsibility. The intent here, although it wasn't clearly stated in the bill, is for all committee action to take place, the Rules Committee being the final committee on the 90th day. So, and then that gives 5 days for floor action on those bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives the Senate an additional, on House bills, it gives the Senate an additional 19 days before the final committee action, then an additional 3 days in the Senate for them to take floor action. And when it goes, then if it goes to conference, you have an additional 1 day extended onto that, and then finally,
mm-hmm.
2 days at the end.
Max?
I'm sort of giving you chain of consciousness kind of thoughts I have about the bill. The worst part of the process, I think it'll help us if we can focus on what we see as the biggest problems from a real life point of view. The biggest problem is the last night of the session. We usually get 1, 2, or 3 budget bills on our desk about mm-hmm. midnight, and then the Senate adjourns.
Mm-hmm.
That's the normal scenario, more or less. That is the real problem, and that's what I would like to avoid more than anything else. If I had to pick,
That's avoided because on the 117th day, they can do it.
Let me finish what I'm saying, okay?
Sure.
Sure. If I had to pick the worst problem of the whole thing, that's it. Large budget bills, hours before adjournment, no chance to do anything because Senate adjourns.
Because they computerized 30 pages added on and sent it over to us.
That type of thing, yeah. And I would like to avoid that.
Did you mean the last day of the session when you said that, or did you mean within the last 3 or 4 days?
It usually is the last day of the session.
No.
I'm talking about a conference.
Okay, now I'd like to respond briefly to say that this chart, as I've gone through it and as we've just discussed it, avoids that.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Please, may I finish what I'm saying? There are 2 types of budget bills. The operating budget almost always goes to a conference committee. The other budget bills, where a lot of the real pork is, don't. And what they do is a series of parliamentary maneuvers. So they take a bill that has come over, strip it of everything,
mm-hmm.
and then put their pork in it and send it back.
Because we have allowed it to happen by waiving all rules.
This doesn't require
it us every time.
It doesn't require the waiver of any rule, because they take a House bill that happens to be an appropriation bill,
send it back for concurrence.
And send it back for concurrence. And there is almost always in each house a vehicle like that hanging around, often by design, frankly.
Right, exactly.
And people are very adept at playing the game. And we're all pretty sure. adept at playing the game individually and collectively around here, too. And it's frankly often a race to see who can shove the thing over first and then adjourn. And the whole system is set up to feed into that kind of, like a funnel. And that's the bottom of the funnel. If you look at the funnel going, instead of vertically, horizontally over time, that's when the mouth of the funnel comes out the other end. And we have no choice. This bill will accomplish, among other things, a change in that, and I like it. But as a practical matter, all the people who live and breathe and die for the funnel are going to do everything they can to kill this concept. And I'm wondering, if we really want reform here, that's the most, and I'm sort of, I realize I'm monologuing here, but I think this is the crux of the thing.
Well, but what you're saying is clear, and
we're going to have to basically,
what this creates here, what you just said is really interesting and is something that's not accounted for in the bill, because the answer to that is that, in fact, that under this chart and maybe under the bill could not happen after the 95th day, because it would be a bill, it would be a House bill, it would be floor action on a House bill, it would be concurrence on Senate amendments to a House bill. And so we've got to find language to address that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not talking about the technicalities.
Am I correct in what I just said?
I'm not talking about the technicalities of the bill.
Yeah, but Max, we're not only agreeing with you, but we're going to the next step. We're saying, yes, you're right, that when a bill comes back for concurrence on the last day, it creates a problem. The first question is, what are you going to do? The second item is to point out that under the language of the bill, it's covered, but in a way that's not appropriate. I don't think anyone at the table disagrees or misunderstands your point.
Yeah, I am concerned that any meaningful reform on this key point is going to be met with vicious opposition.
Life's like that.
Sure. You can have an iron house, you might have it. Depends on who's in charge.
Yeah, sure.
You guys are in charge now, you've got to change.
But that's the most important thing that the bill does, in fact, and on budget bills.
No, I think you're right, and I'd like to hear what Johnny or anybody on this particular, but Terry, let's handle his subject here, please.
Well, anything's controversial, you're going to handle it. If you're going to put up all the barriers in a wall, I could see Johnny, Jimmy, Jack, Susan, Catherine, all.
I don't mean that issue.
You've got to go forward with it.
I mean the substantive issue. Yeah, no, I don't mean the opposition. I mean the point he raised. What would you suggest we do about the business of, say, a budget bill coming back from the other body at the last day?
It's no different. Well, you're going to prevent that. You absolutely can prevent that.
And that was my response.
The budget bill has been the worst one.
That was my response.
Some people all down here strictly for money.
That was my comment, that under the language we've got to work with so far, we haven't dealt with this.
So what you got to do, I would agree halfway on you, on the budget and all bills. But don't treat the budget any different than all bills. Some of your bills have more substance to them as far as the betterment of the government.
You understand what's happening.
Sure.
Do you have a suggestion about how to deal with this?
Well, to represent Grunberg's point about the politics and the funnel, I agree with you. There are some people who will oppose this legislation. There are enough people who want to see a change in the system if we can craft an acceptable change here to have this reform measure pass. I'm confident of that. So we just need to argue about the what language may be missing from this resolution or may need to be modified. I tend to agree with Representative Martin and want to treat all bills the same to the greatest extent possible.
Oh, because what I was going to suggest would be the opposite. And just a thought, that if we have certain rules that budget bills have to follow, they may or may not be rules we care that much about concerning other bills. But at the very, the reason I'm saying that is because with very, very few exceptions,
this is a real problem.
Budget bills are long and complex and have a number of standalone sections. And most of us only look at the sections that deal with our district, unless we have a lot of time.
Max,
can I finish?
Yes,
Other bills are generally shorter. If they're very complex, they're the subject of a conference committee, sometimes. I think that we need to have, my thought is, any budget bill should be calendared and available in its final form at least 24 hours before we vote on it. That would help a lot.
Well, that's what we said. We got that.
It's
just for conference committee, and I wouldn't break it out because a lot of these budget bills don't go to conference committee. I would say any budget bill, and I wouldn't care if it's a supplemental that arrives on the 20th day, but any budget bill must be calendared and available. And I would say actually distributed to the members, even if they bring it around, bicycle around to our offices, 24 hours in advance of the floor vote.
24 hours in advance being calendared for the floor.
Yeah. You're including the reappropriations bill then.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, they can calendar. They could say at 11 o'clock today, it's going to be heard at 11 o'clock tomorrow, here's a copy of the bill.
But what I'm saying is after they give 24 hours notice, see, I think you should do them one better. I think there should be 24 hours notice before the bill is calendared under the 24-hour notice rule.
Mm-hmm. That's okay with me.
But now, here's my concern about this, that what you've said is raised. A smart politician then in the Senate would hold all of the bills, on all of the House bills, which they have amended, to the very end, and dump them all on us at once.
So you can comply with the rule, but you wouldn't be human. It wouldn't be humanly possible to consider all of the material available to you. You just wouldn't have time to go through it all.
See, I think you could
be perfectly legal.
I could move a 10-day bill limit, 10 bill a day limit, on for the last 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. You're causing the same problem by trying to be too super technical.
Well, maybe so.
It's simplicity here tells you and the people, more than ourselves, to tell the people that we want this thing to be clean and straightforward. We get super, super technical with each other because we've been through the mills, and that's going to mislead us to already compromise what is simple and reasonable to the public to accept.
I don't know. I would just say that I would like at least 24 hours to look at the budget for the bill. And if you want to make it 48 or 72, that's okay with me.
So, Representative Grunberg, one of your central points then would be the language in the resolution as it currently stands relating to conference committee reports is not not expansive enough because reappropriations bills, other things that might not go to conference committee that are big money items, would not be included.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not so much that these are big money items, it's that they're complex and they take a little time to look at.
So you would like, I guess we can define budget bill to include, or appropriations bill to include operating capital, reappropriations, loans, all those kinds of items. Even if they broke out loans from the operating budget in a separate bill, all of those would be considered budget. I mean, we can define budget bill.
I think so, just so the rule is as simple. I'd say any money bill, budget bill, appropriation, give them at least 24 hours before you press it on. Yeah.
But that's a different matter. That's information. All bills will be 24 hours before. It must be in print. We'll clean that up a lot. Anyone can go to the documents here and find out what's on tomorrow. But we clean that up a lot. But we still need to, especially at the end of the session, put a 24-hour rule in there for all bills. One thing on the end here I'd like to bring up. See, we had 118. If you want to allow your members, and majority needs these rules as well, to have full use of all the tools available for parliamentary procedures, I think that everything has to be before, at least for the first time, by the 117th day. Because even the majority may want to say, hey, we might want to reconsider this bill. And so, you reconsider the bill, especially finance bill, for your own reasons and decide to clean it to finance. Wait, I don't know how this slipped in here. Then you may well need action for the rescinding actions to under reconsideration. So allow yourself those 2 extra days.
So you'd move 118 back to 117.
I was thinking that everything should be back 117 to allow the members
for reconsideration. Reconsideration
and rescind our action on reconsideration. You may want to do that.
I think that's a good suggestion.
You want that flexibility of your other rules.
And there is something else, too. I'm just sort of, again, Representative, giving you my comments, stream of consciousness. Number one, enough time to read these budget bills. Mm-hmm. And number two, as long as we're really going for some reform, and we're going to obviously be playing this to the public to some extent, because it's going to have to come from public pressure to get this thing through. I think we should go after the practice of dump and adjourn. We shouldn't permit them to dump and adjourn for us. And we should say that neither house may adjourn for 1/2 hour or something like that, any period of time, after the, and you could say all the budget bills are due, or something, you know. And in other words, so that they can't, they have to wait to give the other body a chance to refuse to concur. That would stop half of these games that are being played, because what you have is body A send a porker back, and then make the other body eat the pork. And if you really want to stop making the other body eat the pork, you hold the other body in session. You don't let them adjourn. Well, a slight period of time, so the second body can say no, and that will drive it to a conference committee.
Well, Representative Grunberg, I see the relationship with what we're talking about here, but that sounds like a standalone kind of amendment to the uniform rules.
may be, may not be. But that would be, I think, something that would really, you talk about open meetings, government in the sunshine, and one of the last vestiges of the closed government concept is this cut and run or dump and adjourn. And if we make it so that they have to give the other body a meaningful chance without being called back into special session, that will make sure there can be a good debate on the subject. And if there's a lot of pork in the budget, the other body can just say hell no and drive it to a conference. And then these people can't load it up like that.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I would probably resist that being added on to this legislation.
Johnny, what are your thoughts now? Like, I raised this issue about making it impossible to get bills to conference committee by holding it to the end, but I guess that's an option that exists today and is really not relevant to the issue. Do you feel that our discussion has led you to any conclusions about how you'd like this final product to be structured?
Yes.
Could you state that?
There are some changes that I'd like to go back and consider.
Before you go back, because I'd like to have a nice clean, as Max calls it, chain of consciousness on this, could I interrupt our discussion for 1 minute and just bring up an issue that we overlooked? It's a small technical thing. It is, and if you just take out your copy of HESPL 91 Judiciary CS for a moment, the bill that we just moved out, on the penalties section, on line 7.
Didn't move out yet.
Right, that we have not yet moved out, I'm sorry. And Kathy, I don't know how you'll do this in the minutes, but we're just going to bring up another technical amendment that has to be done. It'll be called Amendment Number 7. On the penalty section, the penalties are intended to provide relief and penalties for employers who violate the bill. And it references in here, and unnecessarily, the exception clause. The exception clause stands anyway. It won't be any less in effect. And it was not intended to write 100 or 110.
No, it was. That was my amendment, Mr. Chairman. Let me explain
why. Your amendment was to take out 120.
And following, I want to leave 110 in, and I'll tell you why. Because an employee, and I went over this with Hayden yesterday, but it's kind of complex. Let me go over it for
Mr. Grunberg.
You pointed this out. An employer could violate this by firing an employee who failed to submit a written report. And the employee could say, yes, I didn't submit a written report, but I had a reason not to under here. So it could be violated, and it's a real crucial scenario that could occur. I meant to include 110 in there, and I wouldn't want to keep it in there.
Could you say that again? I don't understand.
Yeah. Normally, the rule is that you have to submit a written report, assuming that that's in the personnel policy. And if somebody blew the whistle without submitting a written report, an employer could fire that person. The employee could say, that's true, I didn't submit a written report, but I had an excuse for not submitting a written report under one of these scenarios, 1, 2, 3, or 4. So you could have an action for wrongful discharge against an employer under that scenario. And I did mean to leave 110 in.
I said under 100.
100 and 110.
I want to leave 110 in to you.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Doug Rickey.
No, I'm not going to take testimony right now.
I think he was his suggestion.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I'm not going to take outside testimony right now. I think we'll just have to wait, because there are other issues here. All right. No, I think I just need to wait. Well, I don't know that I... Well, what the hell? Okay, sure, Doug. Come to the table. I'm sorry, gentlemen, to interrupt our other discussion.
This will be very brief. For the record, I'm Ricky, work for Representative Grusino. That was part of my question, whether you did intend to create basically another cause of action for the employee. Mm-hmm. My only suggestion was that section could be read in a manner that would allow someone to bring an action against an employee who blew the whistle and was found to not come under the granted very liberal
protection, the limitation section.
I thought we collected that yesterday by saying an employee.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose an employer could have an action against an employee, sort of a defamation of character.
Well, it was suggested to me that that wasn't the thrust of the bill.
It's not the thrust of the bill, and it's not intended to be the thrust of the bill unless the members of the committee want to get into
then,
that.
Then you simply can change that, Mr. Chairman, by changing person on line 6 to an employee.
And on line 9 as well.
Yep.
No, no. And on line 9 you would say an employer, and on 9,
yeah,
12 you would say an employer.
Right, right.
Okay, that clarifies it.
What section
you
want and what...
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, let staff look at that for a while. Let's get back to our conversation on the rules, and when they have had a chance to analyze that recommendation, we'll go forward.
Mr. Chairman, of the comments made here today, I think Representative Martin's suggestions about moving the dates back by one day were good ones. For the reasons he stated. And then also Representative Grunberg, I want to give some more thought to Representative Grunberg's suggestion about having some of the strictures apply to all appropriations bills, rather than just ones that, or having the final line, beginning on line 24 of the resolution, having those restraints apply to more than just conference committee reports.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I think, you know, we could say that this only applies to budget bills within the last 10 days of the session or after 110 days or something like that. But we've had some strange kinds of appropriations bills early in the session.
Before we get back to anecdotes, what are our points of consensus then? Do we have some areas of...
We have about that.
Well, I think we have, because Johnny's just listed some of the areas he wants to review, but maybe he could list for us what he feels we're reaching some agreement on. I have a sense that we have on some of these things.
I don't have a problem, if I may.
Well, I'd like to see if John has an answer before we move forward.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to take the liberal interpretation that we've come to consensus on most of this, and that there are...
Well, I wonder if you could just state on this chart, moving from top to bottom, if you feel that any of these numbers are sufficiently, you know, covered our exceptions and so on, such that... you know, that we can put them aside, so to speak. For example, the issue of floor action on bills of, I mean, like, does the concern about floor action on House bills that have come back from the Senate after, is there a problem with House bills that come back from the Senate during the first session after the 90th day? Can they be calendared? Can a House bill that's come back for concurrence be calendared?
That was a point you raised at the last hearing, of not of us not being able to take action on those items. And I guess I'd say we're still open for discussion on that point, I would hope.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just curious whether or not you've got a thought about it.
I mean, from the last hearing to this hearing, we did not redraft the legislation, because I was under the impression that people wanted to think about it more.
You mean the difference between 90th and 110th thing? Or are you talking about House bills that return after the deadline in either session?
House bills that return.
Okay, so that needs more thought. Then I agree with Max, and I apologize for pushing for consensus too early.
Let's focus on paragraph B, on line 24 and following. I think that normally any kind of a conference committee report should have 24 hours to be looked over.
I wasn't thinking of changing that specifically, Representative Grunberg, but I was thinking of trying to include all action on budget bills other than just those that go to conference committee.
No, I understand that. The chairman was asking, are there any consensus points in this bill?
Okay, so you're stating that you like that one.
And you may recall, occasionally we've had a conference committee report on some minor bill like the smoke detector bill, just a couple technical things. And you can say, well, really, why do you need to have 24 hours? It doesn't do any harm. It's a chicken soup theory. It may not help, but it doesn't do any harm. And we have that practice in the limbo file anyway.
Okay, I apologize for misunderstanding. I thought you were raising a point of contention rather than a point of consensus.
No. In fact, I like the idea of saying, and I don't know if it's anywhere in the rules, that any bill that comes back for concurrence normally must be 24 hours in limbo. I mean, you know, that sort of honored in the breach of the last 24 hours of the session. But I think it's not necessarily a bad deal. And this would basically say, hey, you guys, you got to do all your work except for minor cleanup stuff on the 119th day. And I'm just giving you.
It's only a rule there that you're telling the rules chairman, as Mike was, that see, those things go in your file. They should be in there 24 ahead of time, 24 hours as you want. But the rules chair can bring it up any time he and the speaker agree.
That's right.
Let's bring this turkey up.
Of course.
Bring this turkey up.
Yeah.
Sure. And all we're saying, because if you have 24 hours, then if somebody doesn't like it, they can walk their chit sheet around or talk to the bill manager or whatever.
Well, Max, I understand where you're trying to go with it. I don't know that kind of restriction wouldn't be moving too far into the prerogative of the people dealing with the limbo file. Because you can say that on these other items, people don't necessarily have in their possession the conference committee report. And that's why we're allowing a period of time for those documents to be copied and to be distributed and people to be aware that they have them. The limbo file sets on every person's desk. Those materials are provided as they become available, and members have the option. I mean, I sit there and look through my limbo file, and I know most members do because they come to you. They, even though there may not be 24 hours that they sit there in your limbo file, anybody with a brain knows. I mean, their limbo file is a blue file right there on their desk, and it's being updated continuously in those final hectic days of the session. And you can go through those. So those are things that are in your possession that you have a chance to review. Limiting or saying that there has to be 24 hours notice given on those and those to be in possession to let people run around with chit sheets, that would be nice in a perfect world, but I think that's beyond a reasonable set of deadlines.
Let me play a devil's advocate with you. Mm-hmm. The only difference between Bill A and Bill B is that Bill A goes to a conference committee and Bill B, they do all their work in the other body, but they basically have the folks on board working from the first house. Mm-hmm. Our rules now provide, generally, for 24 hours out of conference committee. It seems to me for the rank and file member, it's mox mix, whether the bill comes to them from a conference committee or from the other body. The key thing is that this is a bill of some controversy, and there have been some changes made in it. And so I would say, and I'm not grading the stone on this, but just a thought, if you're going to have a 24-hour rule so that the people know what they're voting on, mm-hmm. you should have a 24-hour rule so they know what they're voting on.
Well, I appreciate the thought, and I don't mind discussing it at all. I mean, that's what we're doing here in this work session. But those people who are concerned about the bill, I mean, follow it very closely. You know that there are key people in the minority and majority who follow those kinds of changes when they come over and they go in the limbo file. And those are the people who run around with their chit sheets. A lot of members don't care and they wait for the majority leader or the minority leader to stand up and explain the changes and give the direction of what should be done on a procedural vote. It's mm-hmm. considered that by the majority. And minority members routinely stand up and say, what are the changes? And if they don't get a satisfactory answer and they know the answer, they point out the changes that might be controversial and cause the House not to concur or to concur, whichever side of the issue that they're on. So those kind of things, I mean, those things happen. I'm not concerned. I see your point. But I'm not concerned that those things don't get ample attention under the current system.
It's like here, Pete gives us, who wants 24 hours? Come on, Pete, let's get it going.
Right. That would bring up
two other things that the mayor wanted. First, I like very much what you got going here. I agree with that. Maybe the second session of those four actions from the original House must be ended by the 110th day. So that gives the rules chairman 10 days in a majority group. When they go, hey, look, all these bills came for some of our committees. Now let us hack it out. What's priority? What's really? And you're working with the rules committee for the first time because he's the only one that's getting all the Senate for attraction. So 110 days within a second, yeah. One problem that we've had in the past, and I thought of it earlier this morning and again this evening,
at this afternoon is that the term of the Speaker, but more often the President of the Senate, who has used the tool of delaying action for a bill to go to the governor for signature or for his evaluation. And they have played the game more than the House ever has in delay signing of bills to bring them forward, whether we're in session or out of session. Of course, as you know, the Constitution says the governor has 14 days after, 15 days within session and 20 days after session, to knock out on Sundays. But we've had some senators, and I know one of them held it for almost 2 months, a bill that everyone wanted until he got what the hell he wanted. He went to see what the governor was going to do with his bill. Of course, last year, I forget the issue, but one of Ben's bill, and when you guys, majority, one of your bills was held up and held up, and Jan wouldn't sign that thing until something, until she got what she wants.
It never, it wasn't that. It was, a bill went over, it was on school bus pay, overtime pay, or minimum wage for school bus drivers. And the Senate changed one word in the bill, and they never sent it back to the House while the House was in session. She just pocketed it.
Ah, okay. But still, at one point, limiting the time in which a president or the Speaker has in which to send that bill forward, or it is automatically advanced to the governor. Because I thought, here you go, there's the supreme of tyranny, tyranny of one, the leader of either House, overruling the intent of the Constitution and the intent of the public.
Sometimes, though, sometimes there is a delay. And
why don't they give you 15 days or 20 days? Or they can have a reasonable delay.
Well, look, in some of the budget...
Some of them wait for 2 months.
I'm just
before even promoted that bill for them.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just giving you folks a scenario that sometimes on certain budget bills, the last body leader holds the bill until, in this case, the June revenue forecasts come out. So the governor can know with more particularity what he, it would involve a couple of extra weeks.
Well, why don't we go back in a special session and redo the whole damn budget? When we find out what June, or why don't we wait till July or August to find out what the revenue projections are?
Sure. That may unnecessarily help. Yeah.
And really saying that the one person in either house has tremendous power that is not meant to be.
For me?
Maybe we ought to look into it.
Well, that sounds like something that we might want to hook up with Representative Grimberg's suggestion of the limitation on one body's ability to adjourn out from under the other. I mean, we're coming up with more changes in
this is at the request, really, of the governor. Mm-hmm. The governor says, the staff says, hold on to the bill for a little bit of time so that we would have, like, 10 days from the date the revenue forecasts come over. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take care of what you have here now, the flow of legislation. Mm-hmm. The other game that will play, I think maybe it's another bill, we'll be damn lucky if we get this bill.
Sure.
There'll be a lot of brain washing of people, and, you know, it, pure as it is now, it's meant with all the innocence you can have of easy flow of legislation.
It's called games legislators play.
Well, and we're going to try to smooth those out, but if we take on two more, even mine, I'll skip my advocacy here.
To another bill.
I don't disagree with you at all.
This point here, I think we're pretty well consensus.
What I'd like to, Mr. Chairman.
Mike's been through it. Yeah. You feel from your position.
Mike. What I'd like to do is go back and revise my chart so that that's is an accurate portrayal of what we're doing, and also consider some of the changes that were suggested here by yourself and by Representative Martin and by Representative Gall, and then bicycle around a new draft or what might become a proposed committee substitute at some point, and confer with each of you individually, or let you have more than 24 hours to review a new and improved product and see if we can have it back for committee.
You're welcome to call
consideration
it.
Later
you're on. Welcome to call it a committee CS if you want.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
A person that has been amazingly quiet through this whole thing, who has been through it as the board's chairman, I'm a little disturbed about. I think that he had two confession times. Let it out, Mike. What do you see? As the board chairman, you've been under the gun more than anyone else.
Well, actually, I pretty much agree with the schedules here. The only ones I would take any exception with is the first two, and I think that should be lengthened out in the first session. Although I agree with those, or pretty much agree with the numbers for the second session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just for the record,
I like to see us be able to do anything pretty much we want with most of these bills from the first house in the first session, because you may shove it over at the very end of the first session, because it takes that long, and I don't think there should be any pressure on us.
Except, then we get into budget.
I'm not talking about the budget.
Okay, you're talking about ordinary.
I'm talking about ordinary bills, because, I mean, it is a continuing legislature, and I don't think that the reason to cut everything off in the House on the 90th day, or the Senate on the 90th day in the first session.
Yeah.
Except that's Representative Gall's concern, too, and I will go back and see what I can do with that, balancing that with simplicity.
And the fairness of working with each other, because, you know, we want bills from them, and they're griping now that the House ain't doing anything on Senate bills. I've heard that twice on the wire.
Well, the House is griping too that they're not doing anything.
Yeah, vice versa. So this might help to do that. That's why I'd like an early vote session date.
I think we've about reached the end of the road today on this bill, Mr. Chairman. We
is that the consensus of the group?
Yeah.
Mr. Ellis, do you have other points that you feel we
can discuss? No, I think we've laid out a work plan.
This meeting's adjourned.
Well, are you going to do anything the other
one? No, because here's the meeting's adjourned. The bill will be held over until tomorrow, and maybe thereafter.
Mr. Chairman, it's off the record, but
we're adjourned, Mr. McNeil.